Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Deep Thoughts. Today I'm going to talk about something that I think might get at the heart of some of the problems that we're having in perceiving each other in this world. Now, anytime I get into one of these subjects, it's 99.9% of the people, carry the nine quite a bit, can get into this conversation and totally understand it. And then there's that fraction of a single percent that is the folks that are trying to corrupt the world that will hate this and try to convince a fair micro percentage of human beings that this is all bullshit and we should stay on this self-destructive path of depopulation, anger, division, etc. This is about unity. And this is about the way it was less than 50, 60 years ago in the United States of America. Quite frankly, I don't know what the coasts were doing in the 70s and 80s. I was in the Midwest of the United States, and so that's where I was when I started watching this unravel. I think it was fairly global, to be honest. This episode is about the return of the hero. Now, I'm using kind of a storyboard version of that description, right? A hero. Heroes aren't all male, they're not all female, they're whomever wants to engage in saving society, saving a village, saving a family, saving a friendship, saving themselves. At all levels of micro and macro, heroes used to roam this world freely. And then there was a change. There was a change, and it almost seems now as if heroes aren't allowed to exist anymore. Not in male form, not in female form. And the only ones that are marginally allowed to, have the adjectives applied to them that would equal a hero at some point is someone who's under the thumb of some alphabet agency, of some Hollywood apparatus, under some paparazzi apparatus. Those are the only folks that are allowed to voice any opinion whatsoever. But then, they don't have their own words anymore, or they're pre-censored, as Rod Serling said in 1959. They simply carry the agenda due to complete ignorance. Maybe some stupidity. Why make this episode? Because I want you to remember that they used to exist. I want you to have the definition of these heroes in your mind on a daily basis. Now, I'm going to come at this from a predominantly male perspective for male heroes because that's where I connect with heroes in this universe. However, I'll do my best to discuss some of the female heroes as well. But now let's, before we just run into some trivial definition of a hero, why do we even need heroes in this world? Why do they need to exist? Because they have the courage and the enlightenment to not only see what's wrong, but to go after what's wrong and fix it. How many times can you remember back to your childhood when you needed to do something but you didn't know how to do it? You needed to know how to swim. You wanted to jump in the pool. All the other kids were in the pool, but you didn't know how to swim yet, and so you're sort of terrified. You're either the kid who just jumped in and said, hell, I'll figure this thing out, or you sat on the edge waiting for a parent to help you out, or just something to happen, something to click. You were at the school dance, and you never danced in public before, and so you went out there, and you're like, oh my God, can I really do this in front of people? They don't look like they can dance. How much worse could it be? But still, you hesitate. All of us have dozens and dozens of these things before we turn 20 years old, at least, right? Remember, my father taught me how to shoot a pistol for the very first time. He took me underneath a bridge of our hometown. He had a 45 automatic, and I think it was a 45. Maybe it was a 9mm, I don't know. I think it was 45, though. And he shoots the hell out of a bunch of cans, and he goes, here, you do it. And just hearing the noise, the shockwave off this weapon, it was very intimidating at first. We weren't wearing earplugs either, which was pretty damn stupid. And then, you know, you fire it once or twice, and you're like, oh my god, I can do this. Wow, this is really fun. Wow, I'm pretty good at this. So, heroes have a parental element to them. They have a chieftain element to them. The chieftain one is the one that really takes care of society. There's the old John Wayne movie. I don't know what movie it is, but he grabs a boy who hasn't learned how to swim yet. He doesn't know. And there are some real, you know, shallow pond. And he takes the kid and says, okay, well, if you haven't learned how to swim yet, which in his sort of insinuation was, what the hell took you so long? I mean, you're a grown child. You should know how to swim already. He just takes the kid and throws him in the pond. And then his mother runs out of the ranch house and says, what are you doing? He doesn't know how to swim yet. And he goes, well, go get him, you know. And she's like, she looks at him. He goes, whoa, wait a minute. You don't know how to swim either? So he grabs her and throws her in the pond. The thing is, he's not trying to kill them, people. He knows how to swim. If there's any problem with either one of them getting out of the water, he's going to jump in and get him. But both of them in this fictional film swam out, and they were okay. And now they don't have any fear of the water. What's really fascinating about history is that with one generation removed, the amount of history you can erase and revise once they're dead is mind-blowing. It's so all-conclusive, all-encompassing. It's sort of scary. It's scary that if the baby boomers die off, all of them, I don't even know where the cutoff year is, they can erase and revise, they being the bad people, all of the history that occurred during their watch. All of it. And us older Gen X guys and gals might go, oh, but wait a minute, that's not what happened, da-da-da. And they're just looking at you like, you're next, you know? As soon as you die, then their stuff gets completely solidified and your history starts getting revised. And it's all revised to enable and empower the scum of the world, right? I hope that 5 years from now, me saying that and talking about the ruling class and all that stuff seems like the dumbest thing on earth because they don't exist anymore. Maybe I'll even pull those shows or wipe the channel clean and come up with something new. Now, I'm going to give an example, and I don't want all of you out there who are on the opposite side of what I'm saying to piss yourself with anger. But in my experience of life, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, he exudes behaviors that have always been within the heroes that I know who are legit, who are 100% real. Now again, I don't know that man, so I don't know if he's able to play one on TV, and when he gets behind closed doors, he's completely different, and I don't agree with anything he says. I don't know. Again, as I've said several times on shows, I would do things differently if I were him. But maybe he has a rhyme to his reason. He certainly has not failed much in life, right? I mean, that's the other thing, too, is like we have to say, geez, you take advice from people who are where you'd like to be in life. And he always tells us, he goes, look, I don't do anything willy-nilly. I plan everything that I do. I say very specific things. I behave a certain way because it's entertaining and it's informative and it gets the job done when it comes time to making a deal. Okay, he is the president. He had, what, 1% odds of winning? My God, if you had voted on Donald Trump in Vegas using any of the mass media odds that he would win, you would be an ultra, ultra millionaire right now to the degree you could put money in. Isn't that phenomenal? But now there's a coarseness to this man that people really dislike. And again, there's not everything he says is cringe-free in my world either. But heroes tend to have this maverick ownership of who they are as human beings, right? They do it their way. Frank Sinatra, and I did it my way. I mean, you think that's just a song, but if you think about it, he's Blue Eyes. I mean, he was Frank Sinatra. Mafioso extraordinaire at the end of his life. He did it his way. So did Elvis Presley. So did Prince. Think about all these people in our world that have owned their destiny. They've done it their way. And they may end up being a little crazy to us at the end. Howard Hughes. Elon Musk a little bit, right? But they get things done, don't they? Yeah, the other measurement is, again, did they step on anyone's head to get ahead? Hopefully not. That's a true hero. Now, when it's your country versus another country, you never know where the truth lies, right? America has extremely imbalanced tariffs right now that are trying to be cleaned up. And of course, super wealthy countries are pretending to be rich so that we're okay continually subsidizing their industry with our tax dollars. Insane. But the amount of times I've had the following conversation, this is where I start getting to the point. Apologize for the big intro there. Is that when I was a kid, heroes, men, the men heroes, the man heroes that I actually grew up watching, which, you know, goes all the way back to the 30s, all the way up, were men. They weren't necessarily super tall, okay? They weren't all Arnold Schwarzeneggers. You'd be surprised how many of your heroes are 5'8", you know, your Tom Cruise. You know, a lot of people think he's about 5'7". Doesn't matter. You don't have to have a certain stature. You don't have to be good looking. None of that stuff. You have to behave like a hero. You have to start piercing the drony mob rules sort of mentality. The docile nation of sheep. Start getting divided. But you can speak sheep. You can speak wolf. And you can get everyone hip to everything. Look at Martin Luther King. Talk about a hero. He's waiting in the middle of both white and black society in the United States of America and trying to say, hey, everybody, why don't you stop hating each other? There's some beautiful things in the Bible that, true or not, at least are true for us in terms of its spiritual consistency with mankind. We shouldn't be hating each other. You realize most of that guy's speeches were all out of his head. And they are like Abraham Lincoln speeches. I mean, it's unbelievable. But when I was a kid, you know, you had your Clint Eastwoods, your Burt Reynolds, your James Caans, several others, trust me, all being these heroes. In the 80s, what did we have? Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Started getting more insane with their bodies because they just started building and building and building. Now, Bruce Willis just remained sort of a kind of an average tough guy looking thing, which was a nice little contrast to the super bodybuilding of the other two dudes. But there was a manliness about what they did. And yes, of course, we see them through the eyes of Hollywood cameras, so some of it is complete bullshit, and these people aren't exactly the way that they're portraying a hero on camera. But trust me, I get it. But when I was a kid, you know, I was raised in part by a couple, well, one of them very close to the family was a Vietnam vet, still is, and he was just a no-nonsense guy because he'd seen everything. He did three tours of Vietnam, helicopter pilot, you know, he'd been shot down several times and survived all the crashes. And I mean, talk about a guy who just knows where his priorities are and knows, looks at me at like, you know, 10 years old till, you know, whenever age we stopped kind of visiting, which might have been about 16, 17. And he knew what time it was. I studied Kempo as a kid, martial arts, and my teacher was this ex-Vietnam vet, and he didn't fare as well. I mean, he had major PTSD, I could tell. I didn't know what that was called back then, but he taught kids Kempo, and he was utterly brutal but fair. The way he would teach us to get our stances together and how to fight and how to prepare. And he was just amazingly brutal, this guy. But in a way that you could admire him. I also had non-physical heroes that were like my uncles, who were just geniuses. One was a doctor. One was a genius computer guy who could also illustrate. He also helped form the Kempo studio that I grew up in. But then, sort of, I think it's more television first than Hollywood second. And I think this is starting to come away. It's starting to peel off now. We're starting to go back to heroes, which is why I think this episode is called The Return of the Hero. We now have a clear example of a strong male who you're not going to like completely, depending on who you are. Meaning you're not going to like every single thing that he does. You may overwhelmingly love the guy, but you also might hate the guy. But he's defending the United States of America. He's cleaning out the swamp. And I mean, you have to understand, these swamp dwellers like Rod Rosenstein, they are so utterly embedded into their positions and backed by other super embedded assets that to pull them out is almost like trying to remove your brain or your nervous system, you know, spinal cord, and not lose your life. I mean, it's really, really tough not to have the country be injured because they're willing to pull the plug on everything. They're willing to hit all the doomsday suicide systems before they leave because it's all about them. It's not about the people, and it never was about the people. They protect their funders. They fear for their life because that's what happens when you leave the gang. They kill you, right? What's funny about that is, any of you ever been in a real gang, at least in Los Angeles? You completely get what the average human being doesn't get. You don't get away. Right? Rod Rosenstein's not going to get a little velvet card in the mail that says, you can leave now, it's totally cool, and here's your keys to your new, you know, mansion in Beverly Hills. That's never going to happen for that guy. Just get back in there and fight. It's like the end of 48 Hours, or not 48 Hours, Trading Places. Mortimer and the other dude tell the stock guy to go in and sell. The stock market's closed already. But in television in the 90s, you had men get really small. And yes, there's a physical element to what I'm saying, but there's also just a psychological presence of men that just got small. And it was all about being soft. It was all about being constantly tiptoeing around other people such that you couldn't really be anyone. You couldn't be neutrally a man. You couldn't be a hero man for sure, because whatever you did was too much. Pop culture gets into history and starts telling you that, again, like I've said many times on the show, that men were assaulting women constantly in the workplace, that women just waited until 5 o'clock when the husband came home and got drunk and beat them in their wife beater tank top, because that happened to every person in the world. Mm-hmm. So they want to build this natural revulsion in your body that says, we can't go back to the way it was. The way it was horrible. Well, women were getting beaten constantly, and guys would just, you know, it's like 2 minutes into pulling his wang out in a girl's face, you know, at work. Every interview was a casting couch situation. Just lies. And I even have a friend of mine who, because she was able to mention a couple crass men in their life at the workplace, suddenly it was true for everybody, right? You know, I won't identify organizations that I work for because the organizations have nothing to do with it. But, man, I've worked in companies. We had, you know, call centers with 20 women in there taking calls for selling our product back in the day. And the malice on these girls was unbelievable. They wanted to talk about what happened at the party or who slept with who more than the dudes ever did. The amount of sexual jokes were insane. But you know what? We all lived. You know, we fucking lived through it, man. nobody was pushing some girl against the wall in the back room and, you know, forcing sex on her. That would not have been appropriate. That would not have been accepted. And then she would have told someone and that guy would have got his ass beat or got arrested or all the above. That's the difference between fictional past and real past. For the last 20 years, Hollywood and television have pretty much taught the women of the world to date safe. And it's sort of safe to a degree that you would date someone that you could control, potentially. I mean, entirely, which, again, no human being should be in that situation at any point in their life, ever. They date men that if someone crawled in the window at night, they'd be cowering behind the women to be saved. It's really interesting. There was a video a guy created where he dressed up like some superhero. I think it was a Jap anime fighting character from Street Fighter. And he's this weird kind of buff guy in a white dude in an elevator. And so the people come in to use the elevator and he's rigged it all with cameras. And so he then goes crazy and acts like he's going to punch him, which is pretty fucking stupid. But there was a video where this guy came in with his girlfriend and the guy does the thing and he jumps behind his girlfriend. But if you just look down, you know, look at him, he's all into, you know, pants hanging down his ass, you know, probably has 50, you know, gangster rap tracks in his car and he's a badass when he's driving down the street. But the second someone tried to kick his ass, you know, in his own mind, he jumps behind his girlfriend. Unbelievable. And the other one is that you see guys in elevators now. I mean, the other 60-70% of his videos in this elevator gag is that as soon as he starts going nuts, the men start screaming like women. I mean, like women. In fact, not even like women, like little girls. Very bizarre. But when I had this conversation in smoke lounges and I said, look, you know, men have been pussified. And you will get women and men going, that's for sure. Oh my God. Because the women that still like men are starting to find that it's really a rare situation to be able to go out there and find someone who's not only appears to be a man, but is also level-headed and has that sort of chieftain gene, you know. Women can find tons of overly testosterone or hormoned out bros. They're everywhere. But they're not stable human beings. They haven't matured past fucking 15 years old. And when they were 15, they were seemingly abused or something, right? So we're waiting for those green apples to turn red. And hopefully they all make it. Now, I can say from growing up in the Midwest in the 70s and 80s that men, it's still the case in some cases, I think probably more than 50% of the cases, the men out there they work really, really hard. And they don't have the right brain sort of softer side to them. They're very hard. They're very hard dudes. I mean, they get up, again, it's like they just drone through their lives because that's what life requires. And they're getting the job done, they're providing for their families, and there's nothing really wrong with them, but there's that hardness to them. The reason I mention that is that it might have been a healthy stage for us to practice for 20 years. This softened up everybody in society. And then, which is funny, because here we are going into the gangster rock, or gangster rap thing. Gangster rock, hey, that's a new one for you. So you have some metalheads that stay hard, not a hell of a lot of them. And then you have the gangster rap thing, which became extremely popular. And as I've said, two seasons ago, the reason why I believe that this stayed really popular was that it had a manly vibe to it. You know, you listen to Ice Cube's first two or three albums, I mean, Jesus, you can lift weights to that stuff. It's awesome. It really gets under your skin, energizes you, reminds you of your internal rage that you have available if someone were to mess with you, your internal strengths. But the 2000s turned into auto-tuning and just a ton of really feminine stuff for dudes. the clothing that we have to choose from is just fucking gross, man. It's all a bunch of feminine colors or it's a bunch of flannel. You know, you're, like I said, as soon as grunge hit the market, it's almost as if they took every single fashion designer for men, took them outside and lined them up and gunned them down. Like some crazy fashion holocaust. Because we haven't had decent clothing for men since probably the late 80s, early 90s. And I mean like, you know, like suits that give off this vibe that you're a man. Your regular executive wear that makes it look like you're a man walking in the room. I see people wearing them every once in a while, but I don't know where the hell they're buying it. Money could be no object, and I couldn't find it myself, you know? Now, I think that everyone knows that we're in the girl power phase of Hollywood. We're probably entering the end of the first decade of this huge push to knock men out of all the heroic roles and put women in all the heroic roles. And the other crazy fucking thing they're doing is naming all the women men. They have male names. Was the captain in Star Trek STD is Michael. One of the lead characters in 100 is Clark. They all have these male names. Trying to screw with your brain and you know, gender is somehow this, you know, you don't look down and see what you got between your legs. It's all up inside your fucking head. And anytime that you're really physically one way and they're trying to get your brain to go the other way, they're talking about institutionalizing in your mind a mental illness. Right? Now, it's different for someone who's, I think, potentially born that way and they always were that way. That's the way they're programmed. But someone who was oriented according to their physical gender, who is then later convinced to switch, that is a social mental conditioning. But now, don't we want our women to be strong? And the answer is yes. My question is why was it that when I was young, the women were amazingly strong, right? My grandmothers were not to be messed with, and neither was anyone else's grandmothers to be messed with. You know, could all grandmothers beat your ass with their own bare hands? No. But that's why they have dads and grandpas and uncles and brothers. They would take care of it if mom couldn't. But mom was the one that said, beat his ass. You know what he did to me today? Boom. And you correct your habit. You correct your behavior. There have been studies after studies after studies about what creates depopulation. The death of the hero was all about the death of two things. One, your alpha male American that could fight back against anyone messing with this experiment of freedom that Europeans created. For those that remain strong, they're sent off to war to die or be injected such that by the time that they have any faculties or money, they're suffering from ALS, joint pain, radiation damage, and they're dead. So you send the most astute off to die. A tiny sliver goes into professional sports. The other ones are so financially destitute because they've destroyed the economy and those old meat and potatoes jobs have been sent to other countries so that other basic masculine males can get those jobs in other countries. And then the other ones are not strong enough in the mind to stop wearing capri pants. Being pussified by a cultural influence. They don't own their own mind. The females that behave more masculine, this is a very scientific thing, they're, a couple things occurs. If a woman is going to have a choice between being a mother of four or being Oprah Winfrey, and if culture says, look at the magazines, don't you need people to tell you that you're pretty? And don't you need this Maserati? Don't you need that incredible whatever pair of shoes? Well, the only way you're going to get it is to be rich. And the only way to be rich is to get rid of this family idea you have and be Oprah Winfrey. So they solicit women away with culture from having children, thus reducing world population. Again, America has no population problem whatsoever at all. Most first world countries have no population problems whatsoever. The population problems exist in like, you know, four different locations: China, South America, Africa, and India. You have the lowest IQs on this planet. They procreate like crazy. But they're going after the innovators of the world because we're the ones that fight their control apparatus. Hey, once they control first world countries, what they will do to third world countries will be astonishing, violent, and utterly draconian. In fact, it'll probably put to shame anything that's ever happened on the face of this planet, the amount of deaths that they can orchestrate. Because no one will be left to fight back. Everyone will be docile. There'll be no more power structure. There'll be no more alpha males. That'll be a subspecies that disappeared a long time ago, extinct. The biggest, I think, trick that the deep state, are playing on humanity is to make you believe that your gender, your orientation, has to do with your genetic programming. If you believe that, then you no longer fear the social implications of how you're raised. And maybe both happens, right? But again, in my experience, virtually everyone I know very deeply has an interesting childhood story that happens to correlate with their orientation, and it was someone imposing themselves on them as a child. It just so happened to be that way. But if you think it can only be determined in your mother's womb, and then you walk out in society and you're like, hey, nothing can influence me either way, and then all these social pressures come on you. It's not cool to dress like a man. You have to dress like a woman, right? Hollywood puts every actor in a dress. Dave Chappelle completely figured it out, and he's completely right. There's very few actors in Hollywood that haven't dressed like a woman. Very few. What if America turns out really, really well in a couple of years? 2020, the tariffs are balanced, education is up, unemployment is so low we didn't even talk about it anymore. The amount of jobs that are out there are so plentiful. Everyone's just running around the country going, I don't know what I want to be because there's so many things I can pick from. The vending machine's packed, and there's new products going there every single day. Perhaps there's a new invention, some innovation. Maybe there's some cure to cancer. The internet gets 50 times faster. Cars get anti-gravity. I don't know. You know, something happens. Are we going to allow that to be acknowledged in this country and the world, that sort of a brute force male, most definitely alpha, got into the White House with a bunch of other brute force males and females, and were able to improve society by having the balls to say, okay, we're going to simplify here, right? Schools, no more fucking with kids' brains, right? No more degrees that are unemployable, right? There's just a male and female bathroom. You choose which one you think you're a part of. Pedophilia is wiped out. And I mean, we double, triple, quadruple the penalties. We actually use our surveillance system to find these people instantaneously. You don't have any spam in your email anymore because it's really fucking simple to catch spam and get rid of it. Anybody who fishes your account and has you deliver a paycheck to a weird courier, we do a partnership with one of those other countries, and those people get tied and quartered in front of everybody, literally. You want to steal people's money? There's not a death that hurts enough for you. Okay? The shows on TV and the movies that try to get made that are all androgynous, everything's constantly fucked with. Nobody knows who's what or where. They just don't get made anymore. Because society won't go and pay to see the movie, and they won't turn the channel to give it the ratings. So it all just dies off naturally. Maybe we get some new sort of sophisticated I Love Lucy or something, right? The soldiers no longer get pumped full of tremendously toxic chemicals to make them, you know, fight off chemical weapons. We don't start wars for the deep state anymore, like at all. So they get to stay home and they get to have jobs, whatever they want. Maybe they start off in sort of some vocational job that's more meat and potatoes, putting together cars on the assembly line, but they have such incredible opportunities. This is for the females as well, but men are the ones that predominantly go to war, right? That we get them educated in robotics or electronics or art. Maybe some guy pounding out cars every day writes the next best Star Wars. Who knows? Same for the females, right? The joy of having a family is reborn. Again, females. There's not a hell of a lot of you that watch this show. I think maybe 15, 20%. You know as well as I do, if you're over 40, that this rat race of working for a corporation was the biggest lie you've ever heard in your life. Men already know it, okay? So 80 to 85% of my listeners automatically know that this idea of, you know, slaving for some deep state owned major corporation is just bullshit. There's no rewards in there for you. Whatever rewards they're dangling in front of you, they'll take them away before you have a chance to get them on most occasions. And the only time it ever is the exception to the rule is that, like, you know, fraction of a single percent that actually gets to be an Elon Musk or some Mark Rubin kind of guy. You're actually there, and you actually got a tremendous shot in the arm. If they want those folks to be there, because it's exactly like a Michael Jordan. How many ghetto kids think they're going to be Michael Jordan? You know, I don't know if it's LeBron James at this point. But they're out there like the pimp. The pimp that drives through the ghetto and the convertible Bentley smoking that $500 Opus X cigars. They're there to bait the young kids into the system. Being anything other than a man. Being anything other than a hero. The pimp sure ain't the hero. Even though they get falsely misunderstood as if they were, right? Some of them pop out of that art and become heroes. But for those that stay in it their whole life, obviously not. Doesn't mean they don't work hard. Why do we all as individuals have things that stack up that we know we need to do, but we don't do them? It's because they're hard. They make us exhausted. They either make us exhausted mentally or physically or both. And they're not fun sometimes. That's why those things stack up. Cleaning your house, man. Who really fucking loves that job? If you do, send me your number. I know some people do, but the idea is heroes get that shit done. They just muscle through it. Come on, let's get this thing done. You're like, and then when you get done at the end of the day, you feel like a hero when you've actually done what you're supposed to do. It's your list of stuff. It's not someone else's list of stuff. But as a society, we have things that we all have to do for society. Got to get some skin in the game, right? One of the more interesting things about YouTube is that men and amazing women, again, I can't really talk too much about the women. I mean, I don't subscribe to a ton of women's channels or anything, but they're out there. But the amount of guys that have come out and said, you know, this is all bullshit. I'm going to fight for what's true, or what I believe is true. We're finally seeing a reemergence of heroes in the male gender. And I don't turn on the channel and find them dressed in dresses or pink this and, you know, capri pants that. I'm not seeing it. Now, the only reason why some of them do wear feminine colors is that they go to the store and they're like, honey, what do I buy? And she goes, oh, buy this, it'll look cute. And she's dressing her man up like a fucking woman. And he just goes along with it because he doesn't want to fight that battle. That's why that happens. Now, here's the thing. We know that just because you come out and just because you want to be a man doesn't exactly mean you completely get mission accomplished, right? You can be a man and you can be kind of a man child. You can, you know, there's a very famous personality who's suffering major slings and arrows right now, trying to keep his show on the air. For those of you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. He's definitely, a burly, manly guy. I think his voice is fake. I do think that he has issues. His self-perception isn't quite balanced out, so he pretends. but he rants and raves as if he has no empathy to understand his audience whatsoever. You know, I'm sure there's a small collection of his audience that thinks that that's great, but I'm willing to bet they're in the single-digit percentage. But now he's having problems, and I think he's having problems because of all of his rants, all of his embarrassing, childish behavior on his channel has come back to absolutely haunt him. He gave them everything they needed to put him away for life, for, like, mental illness, to be honest. If they wanted to, if they literally wanted to get the state that he lives in to certifiably commit him to a mental institution, all they would have to do is cut together his 25, 30 years of ranting and screaming like a child on his show. And show there's this dangerous habit where he loses his entire character, his entire consciousness, and they play it all the way up to like him doing it yesterday. And they go, see, we can't have that guy on the street. And they can show him doing it on the street with megaphones. See, he's a threat to society. He's a mental threat to society. That's why you don't fuck around with who you are. You don't create these alter egos and these characters. He went to court with his wife because she divorced him. And you know, it's very unfortunate that occurred for him and for her both, and especially the kids. But it happened. And he gets in front of a judge with his attorney. And his attorney says, oh, that's just this gentleman's persona, his character that he has invented on the air that isn't real. Oh, really? Maybe you should rethink doing that. It's interesting because, you know, I obviously have very little audience, you know. We have a nice little group here. But I've always kept it real with you guys, you know. If I felt like swearing, I'd swear. Some days I'll be, you know, more cranky than others about a particular subject or passionate. Other times I'm really mellow. That's me in real life. I speak in real life just like I speak on this show. What's interesting is I've seen individuals who have been very famous for advising people, both in kind of conspiratorial news wake-up calls to motivational speakers. And they start losing their audience. And then they look out into the competitors and they realize that everyone else is keeping it a little more real. And there's nothing wrong with keeping things, you know, PG for a bigger audience. But I've seen in the last year two of these guys who are huge names. Huge names. One's not conspiracy related, one's motivational speaker related, and the other one's conspiracy related. And now they're starting to let it hang out. It's going to sound stupid, but they've started to swear when you knew they wanted to swear in the past. And, you know, there's FCC laws, you know, for swearing. And so there has to be some, if you broadcast over an FCC regulated bandwave, you've got to be careful. In one case, the motivational speaker, in my opinion, should have never attempted to be sort of, I don't know, darker with his words. I don't know. He should have never sweared, ever. And now he swears so much so you're almost like, wow, you don't sound like you use these words that often. So it sounds odd and disingenuous. For the conspiracy guy, it's like, eh, too little too late in a way. It's strange. And this is what heroes do. Heroes stay genuine to you. I'm not trying to put myself in this category. But, you know, I copy my heroes. And I say, look, you can love me or hate me, but really, let's talk about the results that you're getting more than anything else in the entire world. The thing is we hang out with people that we are compatible with, and we also admire people from afar that we feel like we have some kinship with, right? You seem to talk like I talk. You seem to think like I think. You use the words that I use. You get angry about the same things that I get angry about, and you get absolutely invigorated by the things I get invigorated by. You love the movies I like, whatever. Doesn't mean we're compatible necessarily, but it means that there's some overlap there, right? It's a very interesting time because the deep state is trying to assassinate our president. They are. They've attempted, 11 times so far. He was golfing in his course in Scotland, and a guy flew down on a parachute and we think killed one of the Secret Service agents on the ground. They said he died of a heart attack. Yeah. Mm-hmm. because we have really unhealthy Secret Service people. So they cover it up by saying it's a natural cause. But they don't want us to be free. And it shouldn't take one man to remind us of that. It shouldn't take one man to get the job done. And it's not taking one man to get the job done. It's taking hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, to fight for what's right. So what can we do on our end of the gig to make sure that heroes rise again, male and female? We have to raise the consciousness of man through conversation to highlight everything that matters, right? We do. What matters? What does a hero do? A hero plays the long game. They don't play the short game. They'll play the short game to just defuse the situation, but it's always up to the long game. I'll give an example. And this is going to be a fictitious example, but you'll feel me. Go back to the Midwest of America during the 1800s, maybe about 1870s, when Dodge City, Kansas, was insane. Tombstone, Deadwood, all these locations, right? You had non-heroes in there shooting the place up. Immature boys with guns, taking out all of their shortcomings on other people. And it created, you know, division between families. You know, your Hatfields and McCoys. And so they had to shoot it out at some points. But at some point, they had to make peace, didn't they? There's blood on both sides of the fence. You're never going to avenge blood. You just won't. Because someone's going to think they had the right to shoot first. And then whatever you do after that, it's extra blood that you didn't deserve in their mind. But at some point, a chieftain had to happen on both sides of the sexes, male and female. They all had to agree this has to stop. And somebody swallowed their pride. Probably everyone swallowed their pride. And they looked at the long game and said, look, we need to, you know, build a city, build a town at least, where this is going to, we're going to prosper, because otherwise we're going to run out of kids. Everyone's going to get killed. And what the hell is that going to do for us, right? But it took a mature adult to come up with that. I think it's pretty heroic. You know, I'll give the females a bit of a shout out here, if not a full blown shout out. When a couple decides to have a child, think about it. You got a male and female in the room and they want to bond. And so the male is like, I will definitely have sex with you because that feels good. And I won't pull out because that feels good. And then when I'm done, I'm going to take a shower, eat some food, go to sleep, watch TV. But you're going to start growing a child inside of you. And you're going to carry that child for 9 months. Then you're going to go through childbirth. Then you're going to go through maybe some depression right after that, because the child's no longer there. That beautiful moment is gone until you have your next kid. Then you're going to have to raise this child. And of course, it's cute and cuddly and all that stuff, but it also screams and yells and poops and pees a lot. For 4 or 5 years, every time it goes to the bathroom, you have to clean it up. Why do I go through that? Because one of the most heroic things that any female does is have a child. And obviously the second and third and fourth is easier because you know the game, but still every single time is this amazing commitment to sacrifice your own mobility. Depending on how old you are, it could change the way your body looks forever. Maybe you get a stretch mark. Maybe some other things happen. There are people in this world, especially females, that are trying to combat the self-perception that their bodies are ugly, especially after they've had children. And what I am frustrated about is that the men, who seem to be very sparse, the heroic men, don't seem to be jumping in and saying, look, ladies, the second you give life is the second that, you know, you're a major, major hero. And these stretch marks and all this stuff that happens to your body makes you a hero. You gave life, of all things. You gave life, something man can kind of do, but it's only a split second thing. So you're a woman, 45 years old, you never had any kids, and you have a hot, lean body, you have no stretch marks, your boobs are still perky, your ass has no cellulite in it. Okay. Good for you. You know, there's no slight against you or anything. But the woman who's standing right next to you, who's had 3 kids, they're all healthy, and they're all wise, and they're gentle souls. They really created a great family, but she has everything changed. Still, maybe even a decent shape. But she's not as perfect as this other person. There shouldn't be any level of shame. Quite the opposite. You gave life. Even if you just gave life one time, it's still amazing, right? Consequently, young girls don't have babies anymore. I'm talking like 18 and up. There's very few places in the United States of America where a girl has a child between the age of 18 and 25 through absolute love, consent, and marriage, but your body almost completely recovers when you do it that young. When you do it in your 30s and 40s, that's when you get your permanent changes to your body. That switch from having kids young to having kids old is a deep state agenda. They were hoping you would give up before you ever did it. So if you did, you won. You won. There's so many brilliant, wonderful people in the world, and they're not having kids. And they look at other kids restaurants at 9:30 at night with their newborns screaming and yelling because they should be in bed. And they're like, man, see, I don't want to have any kids because I don't have to deal with that shit. And I always look at them and I say, well, those aren't your kids, are they? You wouldn't be at this restaurant at 9:30 at night with a newborn, would you? They're really bad parents over there. You're not. Your kid's going to behave like you. Their kids are behaving like them. So stop giving up on society, people. Stop giving up on your own gene pool moving forward. You might say, hey, my family was a bunch of assholes. I don't want to have any more assholes. Well, you're not an asshole. Right? Yeah, no, I'm not an asshole. Did you marry one? No, oh, no, tell I work really hard to find a really good person. Okay, then why are you thinking that your child's going to somehow genetically inherit assholism? Just before the 60s had dropped acid and drugs and rock and roll at this next level stuff, right? Obviously, it started in the 50s. The adults of the world were extremely responsible and rigid. They had patterns. They got up and they did these things like a machine. And that machine allowed us to build the country that is America. And I'm sure it's true for your country as well. If you're not from America, there was an era when your citizens worked really, really hard, heads down, got everything going. I'm sure that some countries are still doing this, of course. But I think the big question to ask is your country being controlled by the deep state, right? If you're part of the European Union, the answer is yes. Currently, America is coming out of this coma of, oh my God, we let all these deep staters influence and infiltrate our country, changing the agenda of what was a man and a woman, down to the gender, where scientists sit there and argue that, you know, I'm not a man, even though I am. It's like, we need to stop the fucking lunacy here. We need to protect who the hell we are, and we need to choose the right path for our country, for ourselves as individuals. Right? A good country will promote the individual, not some heads down Prussian education thing where it's like everything is for my country. It's like, yeah, it'll be a natural thing for you to protect your country if you benefit from the country's format. And I'll give you an example that's in the corporate world. The worst employee you can have is an employee that thinks about themselves constantly. They go to work for a nice company and all the agendas is me, 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 me. And this is, again, not a gigantic corporation, but like your buddy's company or your company. If you can get employees to think for the company and say, I am here to make the company better, then that is the only thing that's going to make the stock shares that you might have been afforded have any value, right? If you keep going for yourself, then you're going to spite your fellow employees because it's all about you. If you're for the company, then you help the company and every employee starts doing a better job and benefiting from it as well. Are you going to work harder than other people? Maybe. But you're going to have a bad day and someone's going to work hard for you in your place, right? Is that a whole JFK thing? I just used this line in the small town one. I'm going to repeat it. But, you know, it's the whole line about don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. If you maintain a good foundation, your country will prosper completely. The country is made up of its citizens, right? There's no rock star out there that is able to play a single concert unless the fans dedicate themselves to that style of music and show up to the concert. Create a fan page. Create 10,000 fan pages. Kiss, the rock band Kiss, is always really good about saying, we're nothing without you. Always, to this day. Gene Simmons, that's like his opening line, and he's very genuine. He knows that's the truth. I think if you were ever on the fence about how you were going to behave for your life, you're going to make a change. You're going to upgrade yourself. You couldn't pick a better time than right now to upgrade yourself and make sure that you're one of these heroes. Doesn't matter if you're young, doesn't matter if you're old. You're not too old to be a hero, and you're not too young to be a hero by any stretch. Doesn't matter if you're a male or a female. Doesn't matter if you're a male, but you're small. And you're like, man, I don't have all these muscles about, you know, I can't get in a fight and win. Hey, go look up Coral Castle. See what a 110-pound guy was able to do. Right? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're pretty. It doesn't matter if you are considered by the cultural impression of what beauty is that you're somehow unattractive. Doesn't matter. But whatever you define a hero to be, which is hopefully something different than you are, like give yourself a carrot, a goal to go towards, you can be this amazing thing that you see in your head. And most of it is accomplished by simply changing your mind one morning. You just simply say, I'm not doing this anymore. This other thing I used to do. I'm going to experiment with being amazing, according to my definition. And hey, you could even copy a fictional character out of some movie, out of some television show, some fable you've heard, a religious figure. Whatever inspires you to be better than you are today. But let me just share something from the screenwriting realm, and then I'll shut up. A hero is defined by the decisions they make under pressure. Okay. In a lot of cases, those decisions are to make no decision. You're too angry. You need to chill out. Other times, you're going to rely on your patterns that have worked for you in the past. So you're going to say, you know what? I've been here before, and even though I want to do this other thing, I know that the right thing is this thing over here. So I'm just going to go this route B, and then I'm going to leave. Pausing before you talk can help you out tremendously, right? Sometimes you need to make decisions to preserve yourself, your own well-being, your own profit, in whatever realm that is. And the other one is to benefit others and take the bullet yourself, just temporarily. I realize this is sort of an esoteric episode, but I think it's something that comes up a lot in conversation around me. And we just don't talk about it. You know, some of it's, we're not supposed to talk about it because we'll offend someone who isn't what we are describing. My thing is like, well, you can always change your mind. You know, I experienced something, and I'll leave you with this one thing, because I think I've seen it happen several times for other folks as well. When I grew up in the 80s, I don't know, I think it was under attack in the 80s as well. The rockers were wearing makeup. Prince was all over the place with his gender. Yeah, he was the most androgynous guy on planet Earth. And the fashion that we had was very interesting, but it wasn't hard, right? No one was trying to dress up like a gangster, which is where we've been for a long time. You're either this lumberjack fucking flannel guy because we can't get the grunge shit out of our fashion options, or you're wearing gangster clothes, or you're wearing pink shirts with capri pants, right? Those are the kind of your options in America at this point. Now, even though I was personally a very confident kid in the 80s, there was still, when I look back on the photographs of what I was wearing, even into the early 90s, I was not really aware of the full package, in my opinion. It wasn't until about the mid-90s where I really said, ah, there it is. And then later, when I kind of accidentally grew my hair out, I really thought, oh my God, this really feels like who I am. It was really strange. It's a very strange thing. So the reason I'm telling you that is that each decade, I discovered something about myself and tremendously changed the way that I appeared to the world. In fact, probably between the decade of 2000 to maybe 2007, when I started growing my hair out, that was like I was completely lost as to who I was. And I also think I was pretty lost between like 1990 and 1995. Very lost. Whatever I was wearing, it was like, it's just to cover up my body. I don't feel confident in this stuff. I look at the photographs, I want to burn them, you know. So it happens. It happens to the best of us, right? So that's you. I actually believe a lot of this is an agenda, if not every single bit of this is an agenda. For you women who are disgusted with feminism, you absolutely know it's an agenda. Agendas can be destroyed very quickly. Don't watch things that disagree with you. Don't behave like you don't want to behave simply because everyone else is doing it. Ladies, don't date safe. Don't go date a fucking, you know, guy who's got a criminal record for strangling women, of course. But don't go into this thing. I mean, again, I'll just tell you, there's two moments when you realize you've got the wrong guy. When you look down at the little pee stick and you're pregnant, and you're looking at the other dude going, oh my fucking God, what did I just do? And the other one is the super rare case where either someone's crawling into your house at night, there's a sound at night, or you're in some public situation and shit's getting hot between people fighting, and you look at your dude and you're like, I'm fucked. Like, either I'm going to have to solve this problem in public, you just leave at home. I don't know. You're going to have to grab the candlestick holder and cock it back and wait to see if you can get a headshot. Might not work. Because your man's not going to do anything. The man's job is to protect and go get some income. Minimum. If you have any kids, he's supposed to know how to raise a daughter different than he raises a boy. He doesn't try to make your daughter a boy. See that all the fucking time, man. Unbelievable. So buck up and lay down some ground rules for yourself. Become the heroes that we need, because, boy, I tell you, that's going to be an industry. I think it's an industry right now. But in 2 years, if America looks better and we haven't experienced some cataclysmic deep state event to destroy the planet or kill our president or whatever, if you can manage to be a hero, hell, even if that shit happens, we're going to need more heroes than ever. It's you. It's you. And that's what's cool. You can figure it out. And if you haven't figured out deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. It has the audio, video, locked Facebook group, and the Patreon page. For those of you who donate, I really appreciate it. It does make a difference. Anyway, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.